And welcome back to Charles Canuck. Today, I'll be discussing The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Volume 1. It's written by Alan Moore, with art by Kevin O'Neill, Ben DeMagaglil, and Bill Oakley. It's published under the Dwellstorm, which is under DC Comics. Isn't that like a movie with Sean Connery? Yes, there's a movie called League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which is based on, well, it's way more loosely based on this comic book. When I saw that movie, and then find out that, oh, it's based on this book, I kind of went out and found this comic and read it, and like, wow, it's so much different than the movie. Volume 1, Grandpa Bond, the father-grandfather of James Bond, the character we know and love, he assembles a team of Ashmina Harker of Dracula, Alan Quatermain of his book series, Captain Nemo of 20,000 Leagues Under the Ocean, we also have a Mr. Hyde and the Jekyll of the Hyde and Jekyll book. Do also have the Howley Griffin, who is the Invisible Man of the Invisible Man book. And actually, you guys have to go and they've been hired to steal this metal, this rock, the semi MacGuffin that is would be used to power the British rockets to the moon. The which was supposed to happen when it turns from 1899 into 1900, and that didn't happen in the real world. Yes, I know, but however, this is a story or a universe where a man can become a giant monster like thing with Mr. Hyde, or there is this large a modern day size submarine when in the actual time and place that's happening was actually much closer in size to your car than to the submarines that we think of. MacGuffin used to power the British plans to the moon has been taken by a Fu Manchu. Well, that name is not said in the comic, but however, the designs and the way that they're talking about him, it's clearly pointing to, this is Fu Manchu of the Fu Manchu stories. And what's kind of making it interesting is like they'll get like Mina in this comic book at this time in the story doesn't have any powers as compared to the movie. And like the main reason why she's kind of is chosen is like because she has sort of experience with the supernatural, like in the context of the Dracula. So as well, she's come there to help tame Hyde when he gets captured. She kind of is a bit like first one be like yeah like these ladies at this convent in Canada, they're not being visited by a host. Well, sure, they're visited by a host, like a spirit, but not, yeah, but it's not holy. It's a guy who has gone insane because of the chemicals he took to become invisible. And but still, like that's kind of interesting, like in the sense that like she's the one who is doing this task of rounding up all of these heroes who are present in 1890s. And like I was wondering like oh hey, isn't there like a few other the like a bit equally famous characters from this the period, like a John Carter of Mars or a the Sherlock Holmes or the guy that goes through time in the time machine? Well, yes, as there's some of these characters that I mentioned, they appear in the other volumes in the series. One kind of small thing is that like the Sherlock Holmes, he makes a kind of appearance, but however, it's more along the lines of like he is fighting his mortal enemy, the James Moriarty. And actually, what we kind of don't fully get at this point is that like for most of this story of assembling this team to go after Fu Manchu, well, actually, Fu Manchu is angry at how sort of the English are using their power, their prestige, their position in the world as a force to actually be like no, like no, like no, 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 it's a time for China to be a power. Well, through me and my drugs and like whores and stuff like that. And so, like his kind of thing is like, yeah, like, I will use this McGovern thing to power my ships to to be able to rain fire and brimstone on the world and make me the head of the world. That stuff. And well, actually, that there's someone else who would kind of disagree with the Fu Manchu's like the world domination plot. James Moriarty of the Sherlock Holmes like stories. I'd be like he didn't really die in his fight with Holmes, and so he is going he assembles his forces and his resources to fight this the way like this China man and his like the drug-filled the goons, henchmen, underlings. And actually well, first, did start reading this book like, wait, a flying airship, with like massive weapons on it, in the 1890s. Be like Moriarty from the Sherlock Holmes movie, like, and like all these other known like heroes and villains of this time period are like coming together. Like, okay, like, I have no idea where this is gonna be going, but this is kind of off the wall, wacky adventure. Oh, wow! It really went off the deep end in in the kind of context of the I mean, like, the story ends with like the Fu Manchu the fighting the forces of the forces of Moriarty, and like and actually most of London, England, is destroyed in this process. I'm like, oh, like, wow, like, this is insane. This is super crazy. Like, because, but like the way that like this story started, we it was just about finding this MacGuffin and returning it to the British so that they can get into space. But then, I mean, now it's all about the Chinese fighting the criminals of London, England, and some of it is up in the sky, and some of it is on the ground, some of it is over in the Thames. This thing went off the rails, and in a way, like it, made me a bit wonder why on good grief didn't they tell this story? Like, did I'd be like this is kind of way more interesting in the context of like having this three-way brawl between the British government, these Chinese criminals, and these British criminals in in London. There's above London, and the first is at this the frozen factory warehouse somewhere in the Arctic, or maybe in like Siberia or something like that. Like, okay, yeah, like that's kind of a bit like done 5,900 like 1,000 times beforehand. Versus this crazy fight with like the balloons and like airships and the cannons, that is, this isn't like the only story of Alan Moore that gets altered a whole bunch. You're going from comic all the way to the big huge screen. They'd be like the no, I probably would have to talk about it in a different way. Maybe not be like another one of his books that I have read after seeing the movie is Watchmen. But you're probably like this League of Extraordinary League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is pretty cool, it's pretty fun, and it's has this visual style and flair to it that I would say, yeah, it's a good time reading. There's blood, there's guts, there's extreme forms of like violence in it, and like there's sex and nudity and like drug use, beer use, like there's a whole bunch of different vices shown, but like it's not for everyone. And like, yes, like the artwork is semi kid friendly, but then also it's not really kid friendly and stuff like that. But like, no, yeah, no, be like, this is a good book for at least maybe teenagers and older. And again, like it's geared towards the teens and the older crowd, like, because like we, as teens and older people, have read or should have read the books that get hinted or demoted to by this leak. So, like, I like probably would say that this is a good solid 4, 4.5 out of 5. Like, it's fun and good. And like, you probably find it at your bookstore or online through Amazon or through the Kindle or however you find and read books or comics or stuff like that. And like, I would say, yeah, like, if you guys have any kind of questions about that, like, please don't hesitate to email in to nostalgic_gamer@hamacom. Again, nostalgic_gamer@hamacom. Twitter @RGV Podcast. And this is your host, signing off.